Let me emphasize again that two Sundays from today is Father's Day, but that's also, ladies, you always have to cook homecoming, and that's on Mother's Day, and usually you have to take that old hound out for Father's Day, but we're letting you come here and do it for free, and honoring somebody very, very special to us. Anyway, so please sign up and come be a part of that. And if your children are coming, they get to eat for free too. We found out that boys going to take care of everything. Amen. My wife tells me, she said, "Now give boys a break." And boys, honest, I tried. I did. I try to be good, and sometimes the Spirit just doesn't do His work. I remember I'm in my first church, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm trying to learn to preach. I'd surrendered to preaching, going to seminary, and I had done a little bit of preaching. And it's Easter Sunday or sometime after Easter Sunday, and we had had a terrible accident in the area where a fellow who'd been caught 5 or 6 times for drunk driving had killed some kids. And I'm in the midst of my morning prayer, and I said, "Lord, I just pray You'll keep the drunks and the idiots off the highway this weekend." Well, I didn't think a whole lot about that, and I walked out the door, and my chairman, who was so special, and Ronald, you remind me a lot of him, kind of looked at me kindly, knowing I was trying to learn. He said, "Pastor," I said, "Yes, sir." "Does God put all His words in your mouth? Or do you add a few?" He said, "Drunks and idiots probably wasn't the best wording." But it happens. Let's pray together. Father, because of Your precious Son being broken and spilled out, and His blood being spilled out, we have hope today. I pray, Lord, as we spend some time preparing for this time, that You will just guide us, that collectively You will speak to our hearts. Individually, You'll speak to whatever need we have. Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know personally that Your body was broken and Your blood spilled out, so that we might have eternal life. Not only life in heaven, but that we might have life here. For You said that You would come and that we might have life even here more abundantly. Because of Your brokenness and Your being spilled out, may we learn today the sacrifice and again remember the cost. May we, Lord, then answer the call ourselves to be poured out for You and for our fellow man as a fragrance that only You can give. Amen. Well, this morning we come to a celebration of remembrance that is older than the church itself. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord's Supper, the first Lord's Supper, actually came before the church was born. We talked last Sunday, we sang last Sunday about the fact that last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and it was on the day of Pentecost, that festival, that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, or poured out on the disciples, and then the church was born. But it was even before that the Gospels record for us the Lord's Supper. And so we come to celebrate today, and folks say celebrate, yes, it's a time of remembrance. And we call it the Lord's Supper. Some churches call it communion. Others, the sharing of the sacraments. Baptists, because we like to be different, call it an ordinance of the church. It really doesn't matter. It has to do with what the Lord did for us. So if you'll take your Bible, and you'll turn to the Gospel of Matthew, to the 26th chapter. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 17. We're going to read verses 17 through 20. Now, let me kind of give you an idea. When we come to this recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's recorded differently, but this time was recorded in all the Gospels, Jesus and the disciples have come together for what is known as the celebration of Passover. Passover, of course, went back to the time when the Egyptians held the Jews in bondage. And Moses, of course, came upon the scene, sent by God, to deliver God's people. And you remember, if you know your Bible, and maybe if you don't, what happened is a series of plagues to get the Pharaoh to let the people go. That God's final plague was to send the death angel. And the death angel was going to come upon the land of Egypt. And the firstborn of everyone there would die. But God said, I'm going to spare the Hebrew firstborn, your firstborn child, this way. He said, I want you to take blood. And I want you to slay an animal, and I want you to take that blood, and I want you to put it on the top of your door, over the door and over the sides of the door. And when the death angel invades the land, he will pass over your home because you're covered by the blood. And that became a time of remembrance and celebration that the Jews celebrated every year. When we come to this passage, Jesus is celebrating that time. But it is in the midst of that celebration that a marvelous transformation comes. We're seeing, as they're celebrating the Passover, and we believe they probably, and they didn't just have a simple little thing like we do, they were having a meal. An actual, what we call a Seder meal, where they remembered and went through various steps. Jesus then introduces something different. Let's look at verses 17 through 20. Now when the evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. And as they were eating, he said, truly I say that one of you will betray me. And being deeply grieved, they each one began to say, not I, Lord. Verse 23, and he answered, he who dips his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. Now going back to verses 17 and 18, it says that they were coming into the city for the Passover. It is in the midst of that. Now the meal goes on and they celebrate the Passover. Judas, in fact, leaves. And then we get to verse 26. This is where the Passover undergoes a transformation. Now, Jews still celebrate Passover. But Jesus introduced something new to us because, you see, they were living under the blood shedding of what is known as the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. But Jesus begins to introduce here in verse 26 a new idea. It says, and while they were eating, he took some bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now, this is all new. This isn't part of the normal Passover celebration. This was not, if you went to a Jewish Seder meal or you were with a Jewish family for Passover, you're not going to have that part in there. Jesus is introducing a new concept. And he says that this is the bread. This bread that I'm sharing with you. For them, unleavened bread and broke it and said, share it. This represents my body. He's pointing toward the fact his body was to be broken. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was to hang upon Calvary's cross. And he says, again, this is my body. And he told them to take and eat. Now, in the Lord's Supper, unlike in the Jewish Seder meal or the Jewish Passover meal, there are two dominant elements that you and I know about who have been a part of it for maybe you've been a part of it for a long time. The bread. And really, we call it the cup, and that's because Baptists don't want to talk about what was in the cup a whole lot.
And back in Jesus' day, it was wine. Was it alcoholic? Yes. Jesus did drink. The wine back then, we know, was. No, they didn't get drunk, okay? Yes, it was alcoholic. Now, in the Baptist church, we call it juice, because otherwise we'd be singing, "Bring it in the sheaves," for the whole time, right? Well, the bread represents his body. The wine or the juice for us, and some churches, such as the Episcopal Church and others, still serve wine, represents his blood. Well, we're going to take a moment, and our deacons are going to come, and we're going to pass the bread and let you take a moment and reflect on that. But then we're going to come back, and I'm going to talk to you about the cup. Really, what represents the cup? The bread, his body. Something we'll do another time. But we're going to come back, and it won't be an immediate thing. Then we'll share with you the cup. But the cup, he said, I want you to look at the scripture. It says in verse 27, when he'd taken the cup and he'd given thanks to them, he said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back and look at this, but you need to know this is something brand new. This wasn't something you did in the Passover. The covenant that they were under was the old Mosaic covenant and the Abrahamic covenant. Going back to Abraham, it was a covenant where you sacrificed animals. In fact, at Passover, you brought an animal to be sacrificed. And it was at that time that the high priest went in once a year to the Holy of Holies to sprinkle blood so that the people yearly got once forgiveness. But Jesus says, I'm establishing a new covenant. And it'll be a covenant in my blood. But first of all, the bread. We come to share the bread, which represents his body.
his body. Scourged, broken, presented. First of all, his body is perfectly sinless. He is perfectly sinless. And in his body, sacrificed so that you and I would not experience the penalty for our sin. Take me.
In Jesus' day, around the temple, it was a bloody place. When we talk about blood, and we don't talk about the blood a lot in church anymore, we don't sing a lot about the blood because we've kind of gotten too refined, it seems. Squeamish. But you see, you can't really talk about Christ. You can't really share Christ, and you can't really get into what Christianity is all about. And you can't talk about the forgiveness of sin if you don't talk about the blood. You see, in the Old Testament, they shed the blood of sheep and goats and bulls and of maybe a dove or an oxen. They were constantly shedding blood. And the blood, the purpose was so that that animal in giving its life and the blood being shed, that there might be forgiveness. In fact, I want you to turn with me in your Bible. You can leave your Bible marked if you'd like to Matthew. But turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Head right toward Revelation. Because Paul, in writing writing Hebrews, in the 9th chapter, in the 22nd verse, and throughout the 9th chapter, Paul's been talking about the old and the new covenant and talking about the blood. He makes a reference to the Jewish law. You see, it was a part of their custom. In 9 verse 22, and he says, according to the law, one may say that all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It's important that you realize that in their day, that the shedding of blood was the idea of forgiveness. And the establishing blood was used for covenants, but it was forgiveness. In fact, they used to, in those days, they would take something. Some of you have heard the term scapegoat. They would actually take a goat, and the priest would pray or put his hands on the goat. And what he was doing with the goat was he was placing the sins of all the people on the goat. And then the goat was taken to the farthest part of anywhere and left and sent out into the wilderness. But during that time, the goat had been sprinkled with blood so that the sins might be taken away. Jesus, in establishing a new covenant, does the same thing. Again, back to Matthew 26, verse 26. Verse 27. He, in the midst of their meal, takes the cup. And he says, "But I'm getting ready to establish a new covenant." They hadn't had a new covenant. This covenant is not going to be in the blood of rams and lambs and sheep and bullocks. Instead, I'm establishing a covenant in my blood. Verse 28, for he says, "This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." He then goes on to say, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." Romans 5:9 tells us something about the blood, and you don't need to turn there, but we understand that Romans 5:9 tells us that the blood had the power to cleanse. You see, you and I are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It had, it says in that scripture, the power to justify. What does that mean? It means that you and I are made right in the eyes of God. Nothing we did. Everything He did. It has the power, Romans 5:9 tells us, to save. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what could take away my sin, we sing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What could make me what?
Whole
again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so when we take this cup, and some folks are offended by the idea of the blood. There were Christians that were offended by the Passion of the Christ. And those of you that have seen it, it's a very bloody movie. But it just gives us a picture of the cost of our sin and the love of our Savior. He shed His blood so that you and I can stand before God right now. If we've asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins and to come into our life, His blood covers us. I am covered by the blood. You are covered by the blood. What does that mean? That means when God looks down at you, He doesn't look at you the way that you and I look at each other. So, Bruce, I know you're pretty good, but Johnny, I know you're a sinner. But so am I. And you can punch her because we're going to get her. So is she. But if God were to look down at you right now and you've asked Jesus into your heart and you were to say, Lord, forgive me a sinner, He'd go, what sin are you talking about? All I see is that you're clean and justified and pure because you've been cleansed by the blood. Was there another way? No. If the God who knew how to make an aardvark, you know what an aardvark is? If the God who knew how to do all the things He did and created all He did had a better way than the shedding of the blood of His own Son, don't you think He would have done it? So, we need to celebrate the blood. Some people say Christianity is a bloody religion. Yeah, but in a good way. We are covered by the blood. We need to celebrate the blood. And we need to claim the blood. The Scripture teaches us that one of the ways to deal with attacks of the devil and of demonic forces and of bad powers is, it says in Revelation, that they were protected by the blood and the word of their testimony. I'm covered by the blood. We come now to share with you the cup. No, it's not blood. We wouldn't serve you blood. It just celebrates the spilling of His blood. And you know, it doesn't matter if you use wine or juice or whatever else. It's not what's in the cup. It's what it represents. And so we share with you the cup, the shedding of His blood.
Thank you.
broken and spilled out for love of us, Jesus. The blood shed for you and I. Praise God for the blood.